This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Have your Bibles out. Go ahead and get those ready. If you have the message notes either on your app or on the paper, whatever you want to do, whichever works best for you, do that. I want you to do me a favor. If you have the journal, take that out. And for those of you that that didn't get a journal and want one, I think we've sold out twice now, which is great. If you are looking for one of those, it has the book of John and a place you can write notes and just write down what God's saying to you. If you haven't gotten one but want one, there is a card that says Connect Card. Just write your name and write journal on it, and we'll order some more. We need to know how many. So we've given out a lot of those. You're taking notes, listening to God, writing those down, so that's awesome. We want to know how many more. So if you'll do that for us, that'd be great. We're in John chapter 1. For those, if you're following along, again, on your phone in their Bible, your paper, printed Bible, or the journal, it's all John chapter 1. So go ahead and get ready there. And as we get started, I want to kind of get you thinking in this year that we're calling Devoted 23. We're just focusing on Jesus, okay? Is that all? I hope it's all right with you, because that's what we're doing, who Jesus is, what he did, what he says, and what he's about. And as part of that, we want us to be deeper devoted in our lives to Christ, his church, and his mission. That's the vision for the year. That's what we're doing, and that's what we want to focus on. In the book of John, there's some key ideas that I want to hit and make sure you're getting, some that we've introduced and some we're going to. So this kind of just get you caught up and looking forward. So here's three words kind of keep in mind as you're reading the book of John, as you're studying the book of John, as we talk about it. The first word is believe. We did that several weeks ago. It's a key understanding. It's everything that you need to know because of your salvation is dependent on whether you believe or not. And the word believe in Greek is the word pisteo. It means two different things. One is to accept as fact or truth. Like, I believe in my head, I got this understanding as fact, as truth about who Jesus is, what he said, what he did. I believe that. And some people stop there, right? They just get it in their head. Yeah, I get it. But then there's a difference between that and the second part, which is to entrust your life to him or to commit to. When you believe something, it creates a change in your life. You believe it, you live it out. So John's going to hit this several times. You're going to see that word today. You're going to see it throughout the book of John. He really wants you to understand the word believe. The second word is the word for testimony. It's martyria, and it's a word that means to give an eyewitness, a report, or account. It's what happens when you see something. You just said, this is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is why I understand things the way I did. I saw this crime happen. I saw this wonderful thing happen. I went to this restaurant. Let me give you my report or testimony about it. But for John, that's the whole book. He goes, let me tell you what I saw, what I experienced in my time with Jesus and beyond. I want you to get this. This is not something I made up. This is something I believe with all my heart because I saw it. I experienced it. This is my testimony. Even a couple of weeks ago, we looked at John the Baptizer's testimony, what he said about Jesus, so key part of the book. The third word is a word we're going to introduce today. It's a word that's going to come up later on. It's the word meno in Greek. It's the word that means to stay somewhere, to stay, to remain, to abide, or to live, to continue with. Like you're going to stay somewhere. Like I stay, or I live at 3220 High Cliffs Road. It's in Pfaffetown, North Carolina, right? And so I just gave you my address. Don't come throw toilet paper in our trees or anything like that, but that's where I live. That's where I stay. That's where I abide, okay? So all that makes sense. That's the word meno, and you're going to experience it today. We're going to talk about it, but when it's later on in the book of John, he's going to talk about it in more depth. So you need to know these are key concepts, key ideas if you're a Christian. To understand what it means to be a Christian, those three words are so important. One, I believe in Jesus. I have a story or testimony of why I believe, or I heard someone's testimony. That's why I believe. And then John's going to suggest something else to you, this idea of staying or remaining. Okay? So John chapter 1, verse 35, we're going to start there. I want you ready, but before we read, let's pray over that so we can be ready for what God wants to say. John 1, 35, we'll pray. Father God, just speak to us through your word today, and may we understand what you want us to understand. May you speak to our hearts. May we be different and transformed because of Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, so John chapter 1, verse 35. I'm going to start and stop. We're going to go through this passage through verse 51, okay? So here I'm going to get like three words in and I'm going to stop. You guys ready? So it's just like you're ready to go? You look ready to go, okay? Some of you are saying, get on with it. Let's go, all right? John 1:35, it says, the next day again. Four words in, all right? And we're going to stop. If you weren't here last week, just know that John talks big picture stuff. He says, this is where everything came from. This is creation, all this stuff. Then he goes to one specific day. He said, John the Baptizer's out there in the country. He's baptizing people one day, and then the next day, and this is the day after that, okay? So in the next day, this is what we talked about last week. John the Baptizer was out there. People are coming going, who are you? Why are you baptizing people? Why do you have this following? What authority do you have? We talked about this last week. He kept saying, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the Christ. It's about Jesus. And then this day, the next day that we just read, we're going to read about happened. Just know this. Jesus has come. He has met John the Baptizer. He's been baptized by John the Baptizer. The Holy Spirit comes down and settles on Jesus. That's John's clue that this is the one we're waiting for. Then Jesus leaves. He goes out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He's tempted by the tempter. The Holy Spirit leads him out there. After 40 days, he comes back to where John the Baptizer is. That's this day, the day the Jesus movement started. At this time, there are zero followers of Jesus. There is simply Jesus. Today, there are 2 billion followers of Jesus in the world. It went from 0 to 2 billion. This is the movement that Jesus created. And John is saying, this is the day. When it all started, you need to know that. This is the day. The next day, again, John was standing with 2 of his disciples. John had disciples. He was starting a movement out in the desert. People were coming to him from all over. We want more. We want more out of God. We want more out of ourselves. We want to pray for righteousness. We want to be different. We're repenting. He's out there. He's got people going, I want to learn to do what you're doing. He has disciples. There's 2 of them. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and he said this, behold the Lamb of God. 2 disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. John the Baptizer is saying, look, guys, it's not about me. There's the Lamb. I give you permission to go. It's not me. I don't need followers. My job is to point people to Jesus. John is displaying radical humility. Go with him. Go with him. Don't be my student anymore. Don't be my disciple anymore. Go with Jesus. And they followed him. These 2 guys followed Jesus. And then it says that Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? What do you want? You know, what are you looking for in life? Is there something you want from me? Here's the time to kind of answer. What do you guys want? More out of life? Looking for new direction? What are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, and John translates that for us because that's Aramaic. He says, in English, or in Greek there, which means teacher, they want to know, where are you staying? And that's the word meno right there. Where are you staying, Jesus? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. We're out here by the River Jordan. There's a town not too far away. We just want to know where you're staying. Meno, where are you menoing? We want to know. That's all we want to know. Nothing big. Just want to know where you're staying. And he said to him, come and you will see. Come and you will see. Now, where are you staying are the first words of Jesus recorded by John. What are you seeking? And his answer is, come and you'll see. So they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day for it was about the 10th hour, which is about 4 p.m. And the word stay there is the word meno. Where are you staying, Jesus? Where are you living? Where are you buying? Where are we remaining? What's your address? He said, come and see. They got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's Jewish time, which starts at midnight, comes around, so 4 in the afternoon, and they just said, let's just hang out. I don't know about you, but I want to know what they talked about. You ever wondered? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit inside. We have the Word of God, and that's how God speaks to us today, through the church, the Holy Spirit, through the Word. But I wanted to know, what did they talk about that night? As they sat down eating dinner, they just say, you know, I'm hungry, you know, or do you think about dinner, Jesus? What do you want to eat? Or what have you been doing? Or what was it like out in the desert when you were out there? I mean, I wonder what they talked about. They probably asked questions. Tell us about your father. What are you doing? Where did you come from? What's ahead? But for that period of time, they just hung out. There's no agenda. There's no program. It's just sitting with Jesus wherever they were. Doesn't even tell us where they are because it doesn't matter. From 4 o'clock in the afternoon for the rest of the day, Jesus carved out time and he just said, let's just hang out. We can do that today, right? We can just hang out with Jesus. I wonder what they did. John then goes on and tells us this. He said, one of the two who had heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew. So there's two of them. One of them was named Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is the Aramaic way of saying it, or the Greek way, which means Christ. And he, Andrew, brought him, Simon, to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, Simon, and said, you are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which is Aramaic, which means Peter in Greek. And in English, it means the rock. And I want to stop there for a second to talk about what's going on. Jesus has these two guys follow him. One of them's named Andrew. The other guy's not named. But scholars said that is John. John, the writer of this book. He's like saying, I'm not going to say my name, but I was there at day one. Day one of the Jesus movement, when everything started, I was there. I was a witness. I got to experience him. I am one of the two who was there at the very beginning. Wouldn't that be crazy? To be at the very beginning, I got to see the birth of this movement that we call Christianity. John says, I was there. The other guy was Andrew. I love Andrew. Andrew's job is to invite people to Jesus. Andrew does this throughout the book of John, throughout the scriptures. This is the first time. And his first concern was, I found the one. And his first thought is, I got to tell my brother. I love my brother. I got to go find my brother. So he goes and finds Simon. He brings him to Jesus. And it says, Jesus looked at him and saw more than just the outside. He saw the inside. He saw his heart. And when he saw his heart, he says, look, I see something in you. Your name is Simon. I'm going to give you a nickname. This is what I see inside of you. I see a rock. That's what it means. I see a rock inside of you. I see Petra inside of you. I see Cephas inside of you. I see a rock. I see potential. You're not there yet, but one day you will be there. This is who I see. And Jesus loves to give nicknames. We just sang just a little bit ago that God gives us a new name. He sees you. He sees the potential in you. He said, this is what I could do in your life. And I'm going to call you something different from now on. Your old life is going away. And what we're seeing here is the birth of a movement. We had zero followers of Jesus. And then we did Andrew and John. And now we've got Simon. Now we went from zero to three. Three people are now following Jesus. It's growing by the day. The next verse gives us the next thing that happened. It said, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, which is about 70 miles north, okay? I'm going to go on a road trip. And when he got there, he found Philip and he said to him two words, follow me. And here's the cool part. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the same city as Andrew and Peter. They already know each other. This movement that was zero people has now gone to three. It's about to go to four. He's saying, look, we've got some friends of yours. Because they knew each other, for same small town. You know how it is in a small town. You know everybody and everybody's business, right? How many guys are from a small town? Okay, relatively small. Do you know everybody and everybody knew your business? Is that what it was? If you did something wrong, they called your parents, right? Because they knew who your parents were. You know, so-and-so is doing this. Come get them, right? They're out running around. Come get them. They knew each other. They're all from the same town. And they're meeting each other. And Jesus is already making these connections. And they're all saying, what is going on here? We're here at the beginning. And we went from three to now four followers of Jesus. Next verse, what did Philip do? Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So now we went from four to five. And the movement is growing. And it's getting bigger. I want to stop here to kind of fill you in on something. If you're reading the Bible, you're going to notice this. You're going to notice that Nathanael is here in the book of John, and he is a follower of Jesus, one of the 12. And you're going to read the other three Gospels, and you're going to say, I don't see Nathanael's name. And if you read the other three Gospels, you're going to say, well, Bartholomew is there, but I don't see Nathanael. What's going on? I don't see how this works. What is going on? And if ever you read this Gospels, you will see that the disciples are paired up. And every time Philip is paired up either with Bartholomew or Nathanael. So this is what they think happened. They're always getting nicknames, right? James and John were the sons of thunder. And we have Cephas, whose real name is Simon, which means the rock. Nathanael's probably his real name, and Bartholomew is his nickname. Well, if you know any Aramaic, you'll get used to this. B-A-R in front of the word, or the name, means son of. And Bartholomew means son of the furrows. You ever know what, you know what furrows are? You guys, any farmers in here? You live in a farming community. You drive out, you look at these dusty fields out here, and you see the furrows, right, where they've created the rows, and that's where you plant stuff. In other words, Bartholomew was son of a farmer, and that was his nickname. But I think it meant more than that. What do farmers do? They plant seeds. And what we know of Bartholomew, whose real name is probably Nathanael, is after Jesus died and resurrected, they went different places. Tradition tells us that Bartholomew, real name Nathanael, went to India. And there are people in India that trace back their spiritual heritage all the way back to this guy. He ends up in this place in central Europe called Armenia, and that's where he dies. And wherever he goes, he's planting seeds. So his nickname is son of a farmer. His real name is Nathanael, and that's how John records his name. And so he is there, and he's found his friend Philip, and he says, look, Philip, we found somebody. We found the one that they've been writing about in the scriptures, and his name is Jesus, and he's from this place called Nazareth, and his earthly father was Joseph. That's how they identified people. He's son of Joseph. And I love this next one. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. People from small towns sometimes like to be in competition. You ever found that to be true? If you're from Rural Hall, you think about Kang, right? You look down on Kang and you go, I don't know about those people from Kang or not. I just don't know. And now King has its own Chick-fil-A, so it's a real town, right? It wasn't before, but now it's got a Chick-fil-A, so, and it's got a Walmart, so it's a real town. I'm from Pofftown, and you call somebody and go, where are you from? I go, Pofftown. They go, spell it, please, right? Anybody else from Pofftown? You got to spell it. I spell it now to begin with. I'm going to tell you the name. It's Pofftown, P-F-A-F-F. It's not Pfafftown. It's Pofftown, and that's where I'm from. And if you're from Louisville, here's the deal. You don't like people from Clemens. You know why? Because I'm going to just be honest. Louisville people are a little bit stuffy. They're a little bit stuffy. In Louisville, if you're from Louisville, you may be the most loving person in the world, but you don't allow fast food restaurants in your town, do you? Did you guys know that? There are no fast food restaurants on Louisville on purpose. Your signs have to look a certain way. So what happens when you cross the line to Clemens? There's Taco Bell. On the edge, they're not allowed in, but they're right on the edge. Go, we want to be in Louisville. Louis says, you can't come in. McDonald's, don't want you. Wendy's, stay out of here. They've drawn a line. Louisville people are a little bit stuffy, aren't they? And they look down on people from Clemens. They don't even care about people from Pfafftown, right? Doesn't matter. I just tell people I'm from Winston. It just kind of oozes and makes things easier, right? Philip goes to Nathanael and said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael's going, that little town in the middle of nowhere up in the hills? I live by the lake. I have a lake house. And it's true. They were down by the lake. And lake town people, they look down on everybody else, don't they? For people on the beach, they look down on everybody else. You don't have a beach. You don't have a mountain. You don't have a lake. You're in the middle of nowhere. And he goes, could anything at all come out of your little town? And Philip just simply says, come and see. Not going to defend him. Not going to explain him. You just come and see. Then he continues the story. Says this, Jesus saw Nathanael, because Jesus enters the picture, coming toward him. He's coming with Philip. And he said of Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. He's got a good heart. He's a good guy. And Nathanael said to Jesus, "I've never met you. How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What is going on there?" He comes to Jesus. Jesus looks inside his heart and says, I see you. I know who you are. Because I'm Jesus. And I know your heart. And in your heart, there's no deceit. And you're a true Israelite. You know the Jewish customs. You know everything. You're good. And not only that, before Philip came and found you, you were sitting under a tree. And I knew you then. And for Nathanael, it opened his eyes. And you're going, what did he know about Philip? I mean, what did he know about Nathanael? Here's what we think happened. This is what scholars say. The Jewish rabbis at the time would say, when you study the Torah, I want you to go sit under a tree and meditate on it for a while. And so Nathanael, being a true Israelite, has gone to sit under a tree to meditate on the scriptures. Don't know what he was meditating on. Maybe he was meditating on the Messiah. Maybe he was meditating on this idea of what's in your heart. Maybe he was meditating on the idea of deceit. Whatever it was, when Jesus told him where he was and what he was doing, Nathanael goes, "You know me. You know me." If you have ever been pursued by the Holy Spirit or as Jesus called you, you had a moment like that probably, where you were thinking something, you were confronting something, you were convicted of something, and you read the scriptures and you see yourself there and you go, "Oh my goodness, God knows me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm struggling with. He knows my temptations. He knows when I've failed. He knows all this stuff about me." And suddenly you understand who he is. And Nathanael cries out, "I know who you are. You're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. I get it. Because you know me. Now I know you." And I hope that makes sense as you work through the scriptures. Nathanael's a real person, real time. He is trying to figure this out. He's sitting under a tree. He's meditating. Here comes Jesus. And Jesus says, "I know you. I know you." And Nathanael turns around. I know you then. Because you're bigger and better and greater than I ever thought. Jesus then turns to him and says this. As he's dealing with this individual, he says, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, do you believe? Do you believe?" There's your word, pisteo. You believe now? I know who you are. I know what's in your heart, warts and all. I've identified you. I've told you about it. Do you believe based on your statement? And then he says this, "You will see greater things than these." You think that's something? Come, let's see something else. And he finishes the passage this way, and he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You think what we've been through is something cool? Just this moment where I know who you are, you know who I am? That's great. You believe. You've gotten started. You have enough faith to get moving. But in the time together, you're going to see even greater things. Even greater things than that. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to have that kind of relationship. This is the beginning of the Jesus movement. We had zero people, no one following Jesus. And then John and Andrew start following Jesus. They go to Simon. Simon starts following Jesus. That's three. Then they go up to Galilee. Philip joins in. That's four. Philip goes against Nathanael. That's five. From zero to five in just a matter of days. And today there are 2 billion people following Jesus. And this was day 1, 2, and 3. Okay? This is how it got started. This is when Jesus began to change lives. And this is exactly how it got moving. And now we're on this end of it. And where does it go from here? And what have you got to do with this? And how is it going to affect your life? On your outline, I want to talk about 3 key phrases from this passage. 2 of them are very, very central. You'll see them. The third one's implied by a single word. And I want to take you through, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world based on this passage? And here's the 3 phrases. My first one, the first one is my favorite. The first is simply this: come and see. If you want to know what does it mean to be a Christian today, 2023, here's a phrase you need to know: come and see. Come and see. It's twice in the passage. The first time is when Jesus says to him, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? And they want to know where you're staying. And he simply says, come and you will see. John 1:35. He says, come and you will see. He could have said, I'm staying over here at these guys' homes. I'm camping out in the woods. He could have said, I'm going back to Bethany. What he says is, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to give you an invitation. Here's the invitation. Come and see. And then later in verse 45, Philip goes to Nathanael and says, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what Philip says is, just come and see. Just come and see. This is the first step. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is the first step. It's simply come and check him out. Come and check him out. Read. If he's real, he'll stand up to the scrutiny. If he's real, he'll be able to answer your questions. A lot of times he just says, come and see. Some of us in the room are planners. Anybody willing to admit you're a planner? You have a planner? You like to plan? Okay. This is hard for us, isn't it? We'll ask Jesus, we'll go, what's next, Jesus? Where's this marriage going? Where's this job going? What's going to happen with my bank account? What does he say? Come and see. How long am I going to have to deal with this, Jesus? How long am I going to be sick? Come with me and see. When are you going to solve this relationship? Come and see. Let's discover together. If I give you an answer, you're going to go hang out somewhere. That's all you're going to look for. But this is about coming with me. When are you going to answer my prayer, God? I've been praying every single day. And he says, come and see. It's an invitation to a journey. It's not a simple answer sometimes. We just want the answer. And it frustrates us so much sometimes where he just says, come and you will see. Come with me. Let's find out together. That's what this is, a relationship. Let's walk step by step. Old Testament, Proverbs 16, verse 9 says this, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps daily. Come and see, come and see. What's next? What's next? And the answer is stay. Mano, remain with me. Just stay with me. Remain with me and we'll discover this together. I mentioned last week, if you've been watching the news, and we talked about it a little bit last week, in Asbury, Kentucky, at the seminary there on February 8th, there was a chapel. And I've seen the video. If you've seen the video, the guy gets up and he goes, I'm Zach, I'm the speaker today. He fiddles around with his controller for the slides, and it's really just so low-key. He's teaching from Romans. They have worship. No big thing. At the end of the service, chapel, it's just a regular chapel, he just says, if anybody wants to stay, you can stay. It wasn't like everybody come down, let's all gather up front, let's give the band another shot at this or whatever. It's just if you want to stay, you can stay. Mano, do you want to stay? You want to live here for a little bit? You can stay. Up to you. And the chapel continued. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 16 days. 70,000 people came to this little town in Kentucky. They didn't have room for 70,000 people. And the people of the town who were the sheriffs and the police and the authorities said, we can't take any more people. There's not room for them. We just want to come see, they're saying. We just want to come see. And they put it online so everybody could see it. And they finally said, we're going to stop. We're going to stop because it's not about the place. It's about Jesus. We never meant to start a movement. We wanted people to connect with Jesus. Because you stay with Jesus, not in a place. The reason this is interesting for historians, but if you like history, you know that Asbury was the center of several revivals. Early 1900, they did the same thing. A group of students, a small college, they started praying and asking for revival in the country, and we saw revival. But the big thing, for those of us that remember these days, 1970. I won't have you raise your hand if you were aware of 1970, whether you're alive or maybe not aware for different reasons. 1970 was a big time in our country. Did you know there was revival in Asbury in 1970? A group of students got together, began to praying. They stayed there, they mainoed there, and then at the end they said, let's send teams out around the country. And they went around the country. And Time magazine wrote about 1972, the Jesus Revolution. Because hundreds of thousands of people were coming to give their lives to Jesus. Not there, all over the country from all different backgrounds. The hippies started coming to Jesus because they were seeking. They were seeking God in drugs. They were seeking God in sex. They were seeking God in transcendental meditation. They were seeking God in Hare Krishna. They were seeking God in LSD. They were seeking God in any way they could find, but they couldn't put it in words, but they weren't finding answers. And then they found Jesus. There's a movie out called The Jesus Revolution. We went Friday night to go see that really good movie. It's about a little piece of the Jesus Revolution that happened in California. And Stacy actually worked with some of the people that had come out of that. And it was fun to watch it. And they showed certain lives and how they were just changed. Hundreds of thousands of young people gave their lives to Jesus. It all culminated in 1972 at the Expo in Texas. This is Billy Graham, Bill Bright, Campus Crusade. They called together. 80,000 people came from all over the country to come and see what God was doing. They spent a week there. Their lives were changed, and churches changed. Denominations were founded. Parachurch ministries were begun. You're affected by all this. Our lives are affected by this. One of the things that we do here is a certain kind of music. Now, we don't play music from the 70s, okay? But what you see up here was birthed out of the 70s. A lot of the people that came to Christ were rock and roll people. And they go, we want to hear our music. I'm wearing jeans today. I couldn't have worn jeans before this, right? I would have been excused out. Now, in those days, people started wearing jeans. They started coming barefoot to church. There's churches they would sit up front. And they were dressed in their normal attire. And people were upset. And after a while, they said, it doesn't really matter what you wear. You can dress up. You don't have to dress up. It's really about your heart, right? It changed the world. And they're wondering now, with this new revival in Asbury, they don't know if it's just like for that one place or there's something bigger coming. We don't know, but the big thing is come and see. What is God doing? Focus on that. What is God doing? For John and Andrew, it was to come and see in the first day of their life with Jesus, and they begin to follow him. And that leads to number two. The second phrase you'll hear is follow me. Follow me. It's the call of a rabbi to a student. This is a phrase you're going to need to know if you're going to follow Jesus. It's simply his command, his invitation to follow me. John 1:37, it says this, the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus says, come and see, and they followed him. John 1:43, Jesus found Philip and said to him, follow me. They're used to this. The rabbis would say to their different people, hey, I want you to be my student. Would you come follow me? It was an invitation. And just so you know, about 200 years before Jesus came into the world, the rabbis had a phrase they would use. And this is what they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, which sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? It sounds like, man, the dust is going to come off of him onto me. You guys ever, you know who Pigpen is from Snoopy? You know Pigpen, you see the dust coming off of him. Well, what the rabbis would say is look, when rabbis were seated, the disciples that wanted to be close would sit right by their feet. And because they walked on dusty roads, they would shake off their clothes or the dirt would come off of them. And who would it hit? The people up front. And you'd be covered with the dust of your rabbi. When they would walk down from one town to the next, their disciples were so close, the dust would kind of come off the rabbi onto them, okay? I know it's, for those of you that are clean freaks, this is bad news. But for them, they were saying, we're just that close. And Jesus says, follow me. When I stop, you stop. When I go, you go. When I say, let's go over here, let's do this together, you follow me. When it's time to be quiet and just rest, come with me. But be so close that the dust of the rabbi settles on you. Follow me. The last phrase, and it's really not in the scripture, but it's embedded in the scripture. Number three is seek and find. Seek and find. It's one word in the passages. It's one word. In English, it's two words, seek and find. In that, it says this, verse 41. He, Andrew, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, see the word found? The very first thing that Andrew wanted to do was, I got to find my brother. I want him to know. And so he sought him and he found him. And that kind of seeking is different than just finding something by accident. I'm actually looking for him. I'm actually trying to find this thing. So he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. We were looking for him and now we found him. Let me tell you what that word is about. How many guys have ever lost your keys and then were frantic because you couldn't find them? All right, almost everybody. And then when you found them, you were happy, right? How many guys ever lost your phone? You've lost your phone. Somebody had to call. You were frantic. It was in the car. It was somewhere. It was underneath the pillow. They called. We've all had that. How many guys have ever lost your mind? Raise your hand. You've lost your mind. Still looking for it, right? The day you find it, I've got it. How many ever lost your way? Yeah. It's easy to lose our way, isn't it? And then you find it. And you find the answers. And it's such a relief. And they were looking for the Messiah, and they found him. And the first thing that Andrew wanted to do was go find his brother so his brother could know. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee where he found Philip. He was looking for Philip. He was looking for you. He is looking for people. And when he finds them, he rejoices because he seeks and saves the lost. John 1:45. Philip then found Nathanael. I want my friend Nathanael to know. And he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. I found him. And I want you to know. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we are a seek and find mission. Jesus is looking for lost people. And he says, I want you to do the same. Now, who do you know that needs to know Jesus? Your brother? Go find him. Your friend from the same town? Go find him. Your sister, your uncle, your coworker, they are lost. They need to be found. Go and we'll celebrate together. Don't just sit. We're going together. Come and see. Follow me. Seek and find. That's what it's about to be a Christ follower. Because we have found something others are looking for, and we can help them find him. Today, as we prepare for communion, as we wrap this up, I want you to think about these three phrases. One, come and see. Just come and see. If you don't know Jesus, just check him out. Read the book of John. Ask questions. Talk to Jesus about your questions. If you know Jesus, just keep coming and seeing. What do you have next for me? What's next? I'm ready to go. I don't need answers. I just need to know you. Come and see. Follow me means we're going to give up whatever we need to give up to follow Jesus. And finally, seek and find. Seek and find Jesus. This year, we are doing different things. You notice that a little bit. If you don't like change, I'm sorry. We're easing into them a little bit at a time. And today, I just want to do something different for today's communion. So in communion, what we do is we invite people up. You receive the elements and you go back and sit down. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. And I want to go back to what Jesus said. He said, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking hope? Are you seeking answers? Are you seeking forgiveness? Mercy? Are you seeking peace because your mind's not at peace? Do you have someone that you know is hurting and you want them to be found? You want them to be healed? Are you seeking help for someone else? Today, what we want to do for you is invite you to come up. When we receive communion, we're going to ask you to get the communion and sit down. Don't take it yet. But if you want prayer, we're going to be over here praying for people, okay? It's up to you. We're going to sing a song. You just come and receive what you're looking for. Jesus says, what are you seeking? And then after the song, after we pray, and if people come, we'll pray over you and with you, and then you'll just return to your seat after the song. We'll take it together as a family. So you come up after this song, and you'll receive during the song, and then after we'll close it up. But I want to share with you one verse, a promise from Jesus. Along with come and see, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe that's what you're looking for. What are you seeking? I'm just seeking rest. Because I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. My brother, my sister doesn't know Jesus. I'm having trouble with my marriage. I'm having questions. I just want rest. I want to know you're at work. Maybe that's it. And let's just pray for that. So I'm going to pray. They're going to start singing. We're going to sing together. You come up, receive communion. If you want prayer, we'll be right over here. At the end of the song, we'll take communion together and be dismissed. Okay? But come if you want prayer and communion. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this moment that you just invite us to come. Come to you, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. You ask us, what are you seeking? You want to know, you care, you love. And so today we want to come to you, whether it's forgiveness, mercy, grace, healing, answers, reassurance, just to know that you care and you want to wrap us up as your as our Father. So Father, we use this song to come before you in the name of Jesus, amen. So when you're ready, come up and receive communion or prayer.